Friends, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Happy Easter to you all. We're so glad that you are here with us. Let's join together in the holy greeting. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Would you join me in today's call to worship? Rejoice, there is great news. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Let all the earth proclaim the joy. Let all heaven show forth in praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you light a candle for worship, let us take great joy in welcoming again the light of the world, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. O God in heaven, Jesus here in our midst, Holy Spirit, our very breath, we are in awe this day, this wonderful Easter day, that we are graced with the privilege of coming before you in worship. For the work of the cross, we are unspeakably grateful. For the time spent waiting in the tomb, we are content to remain in wonder. For the miracle of your resurrection, we are profoundly moved as your life gives us life. And not just any life, but life eternal with you. We bless your holy name and rise to give you all glory, honor, and praise today and always. In your blessed name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Easter Sunday is special for all sorts of reasons, and one of the ways we recognize that is by doing things a little bit different in our worship service orders. On Easter Sunday, we don't say a prayer of confession. All that is done. And so instead of that prayer, we affirm our faith today. So will you join me in saying together this affirmation of faith? As followers of Jesus Christ living in this world, which some seek to control, but which others view with despair, we declare with joy and trust, our world belongs to God. From the beginning, through all the crises of our times, until his kingdom fully comes, God keeps covenant forever. Our world belongs to him. God is king. Let the earth be glad. Christ is victor. His rule has begun. Hallelujah. The Spirit is at work renewing the creation. Praise the Lord.
The Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, today we are gathering to proclaim together that he is risen. In truth, actually, every Sunday as we gather for worship, this is our proclamation. Every Sunday we are celebrating the resurrection and the wonderful implications of that astounding event. Implications like the fact that death was not the end for Jesus. His story, his life, his work, and his mission did not end when he breathed his last breath on the cross. From our perspective, it's easy to understand why we might think that death is always the end of life. But Jesus' resurrection has shown and proved to us that it is not. Not for him and not for us. Jesus' resurrection shows us that life cannot be contained by death, that we have been rescued from death, and that there is and will be life beyond death, a new life that is both for us individually and somehow also for God's world. And here at the tomb, the risen Jesus gives us the first glimpse of that new life that God has for us all. Now, arguably, more than on any other Sunday of the year, today we have an opportunity to really focus on this and to think about where we are with these fantastic events. Even more, we are each given the chance to consider where we might find ourselves in terms of believing that death is not actually the end for Jesus or for us. That in and through Christ, we are guaranteed life, life that will be forever. Especially on Easter Sunday, we proclaim these things together as the Church of Christ, but individually, we might actually be in slightly different places in our beliefs about Jesus' resurrection and about all that it means. So let me start by saying, wherever you are in your own personal belief about this, you are welcome here. You are welcome, and we are delighted to have you as part of this community of people who, in our very best moments, embody little glimpses of that resurrection life ourselves. You know, never has Jesus' church been all in the same place on this. Not since that very first morning among those very first friends who actually got to walk into that tomb. And then in the days to come, who actually got to see and even sometimes touch for themselves to see that Jesus was alive again. Always, Jesus' friends and followers have come to our beliefs about this, each in our own way. That's one of the things that I actually love about this morning's reading. Within it, we have three of Jesus' closest friends facing the inconceivable possibility that he might actually no longer be dead. And each of those three people seems to come at this in their own unique way. And so I wonder if there might actually be something in their perspectives and their experience of that day that might actually seem familiar for you today. Well, here in this first resurrection story we have in John's Gospel, we have three of Jesus' closest disciples. There's Mary Magdalene, who was the first person to go to the tomb very early in the morning on that first day of the week. And there's Peter and another disciple who's only referred to as the other disciple, the one Jesus loved. Now, a reasonably informed guess is that that was actually young John, the one who would go on to write this gospel. And so we're going to go with that guess for today and say that that third disciple at the tomb that morning was John. And as we look at how each of these three people experienced the incredible events of that morning, let's start with him. Because in some ways, John's perspective is the simplest and the clearest. If there is a phrase that describes John's journey to belief in Jesus' resurrection, it would be that it was easy. From what we read in this passage, it seems that faith, belief in all of this, came easily to this young disciple. When Mary reported Jesus' body missing from the tomb, he ran with Peter to see for himself. When he arrived at the tomb, he looked in, but then he waited for Peter to catch up, and he went in behind Peter. And we're told simply that John saw and believed. Seeing the tomb empty and the burial cloths laying in two different places with no body to be found appears to be all that it took for John to let himself believe the unthinkable. Now, it could be that belief came to him more easily because he was young. Maybe he hadn't had enough of life's experiences that can make it harder for us to dare to believe such an incredible thing. Maybe he hadn't developed the skepticism and cynicism that can come with the challenges of living. Maybe it was actually his youth that helped him to quickly embrace the possibility that the impossible now seemed to be true. Or maybe it was something else that made it easier for John to believe. Maybe something about his nature or his close relationship with Jesus. Or maybe a gracious gift of faith given to the Holy Spirit, given by the Holy Spirit to him as he entered that tomb. Whatever it was, John was the first disciple to show this incredible ability to believe and trust in God, even when that trust seems to defy reason. Maybe you're actually blessed to be one of those kind of people. Faith. Trust in God. It's just there for you, always, without you having to reach very far to find it. If you are lucky enough to be one of those people, then bless you. We need you, and we need your gift of faith, so please share it with us. Now, as we turn to Peter, the situation isn't quite as clear. We don't have another simple, direct statement saying that he believed. What we do have is a picture of action that is very in keeping with what, to this point, we have already seen of Peter's nature. When Mary came with the news that the tomb was empty, it seems that Peter jumped up as quickly as young John and literally ran to the tomb to see for himself. Throughout the gospel stories of the disciples' years with Jesus, we see Peter as a man who seemed to do this a lot. He was eager to see what there was to see. Remember, eager to go to Jesus on the water, eager to say he would stand up for Jesus. If there was something happening, Peter was always eager to be involved in it. And that's what we see again in this reading today. He ran to the tomb, and unlike young John, he didn't even hesitate when he got there. He went straight in to see for himself. And see, he did. We aren't told how Peter interpreted what he found. We only know that after he had seen that Jesus was really gone, he and John returned back to the place where they had been staying. Right now, in this part of the reading, we don't know any more about Peter's belief than that. But can you imagine the conversation they probably had on the road as they walked home? Maybe young John was sharing that strong faith he has with Peter, urging him to consider the possibility that Jesus' body hadn't been taken, but had actually risen. Peter is a man who seems to have acted first and then thought later. And I suspect that may have been the case on this morning. It might have taken him some time to be able to think through things before he figured out what he actually believed had happened. And maybe there's something of that in your own experience. Maybe you need to take time to think things through, to figure out what you're actually prepared to believe about all of this. Well, if so, if that is kind of the way you work, then know that you are in pretty good company with this man who would, before very long, come to be known as Saint Peter. And now we come to Mary. Mary, who was the first to discover the tomb empty, but who struggled to get past her first impression, which was that somebody must have taken Jesus' body. For Mary, seeing the empty tomb wasn't enough. It took something more than that. It wasn't until it got personal for her, and Jesus came to her himself. It wasn't until she heard him say the sound of her name, Mary, said in such a familiar tone and with so much love. It was only then that she was able to recognize him and realized he was truly alive again. For Mary, it took a personal experience of Jesus there with her for her to be able to believe that it was true. At first, she didn't recognize him, but eventually it became clear to her that it truly was him. And when it did, all of her grief and her doubt dissolved in an instant. There was no denying it. He was alive. Well, we have proclaimed together that he is risen today. And in reality, each of us individually might actually be in a slightly different or maybe even more than slightly different places with this incredible claim that Jesus rose on that first Easter morning. It may be that you find it easier to identify with one or another of these three disciples' own experience. Or perhaps you feel something more in common with some of the other disciples' experiences, the ones we read of in the other stories from the Gospels that tell us of Christ, the risen Christ, appearing to them. Perhaps you find yourself more easily in the story of Thomas who doubted, or in the story of those disciples that Jesus joined as they walked along the Emmaus Road, him talking to them, explaining the scriptures, their hearts burning within them, but not actually recognizing him until he broke the bread and gave it to them. We don't actually have detailed descriptions of how every one of Jesus' first friends and followers came to believe. But we can be sure that each of their own experiences was unique. And even more, we know from the history of the early church that eventually they did all come to believe. And to believe so powerfully that they were willing to die rather than deny what they knew to be true, that on that third day, Jesus rose again from the dead. My friends, if there was a path to faith for each of them, a path that began here at the tomb, then it seems to me that there might be a path to faith here for each of us, if we will let ourselves be drawn by the Spirit of God to follow it. Amen.
Wonder of your cross shall be our meditation. Together in that shadow as the sun went down, to weep with those who thought that you were leaving Jesus, the humble King who never wore an earthly crown. To steal away at night when they took down your body, love and tears to leave you in a borrowed grave. To go with Mary to that place they laid you, where they laid you, Jesus, and in the morning find the stone was rolled away. I'll come to phrases silent in those hours of darkness. Your Holy Spirit brooding round that empty throne. Till the declaration He is risen. You are risen, Jesus. He is not dead. Behold, He lives forevermore. Hey, the cross, oh, the wonderful cross. What glory, what victory.
Good morning. Let's pray together. Triune God, Jesus, God beside us, Father, God above us, Holy Spirit, God within us, it is to you that we pray this morning. Jesus, God beside us, thank you. We celebrate resurrection today with wonder and awe and with rejoicing, dancing hearts. You are risen indeed. We are so grateful for your ultimate sacrifice and that you are with us today and always. We offer you this poem by Kathy Galloway. Christ, our life, you are alive in the tenderness of touch, in the heartbeat of intimacy, in the insights of solitude. Alleluia. Christ, our life, you are alive in the creative possibility of the dullest conversation, of the dreariest task and the most threatening event. Alleluia. Christ, our life, you are alive to offer recreation to every unhealed hurt, to every deadened place, to every damaged heart. Hallelujah. Father God above us, we offer praise and thanks for the gift of Jesus, that through him all things have been made new. As David wrote in Psalms, hallelujah, praise you in your holy house of worship. Praise you under the open skies. Praise you for your acts of power. Praise you for your magnificent greatness. Let every living, breathing creature praise God. Alleluia. Almighty, we lift up to you this morning broken hearts, those grieving the loss of a loved one, those dealing with rejection, fear of what the future may bring, and those dealing with anxiety. Please calm their hearts and give them hope for their futures. We bring to you also those whose bodies are broken or infirm. Please relieve their pain. Send discerning medical help in a quick and timely manner. And for those that are walking beside them as caregivers, we ask for patience, rest, and joy. Father God, we ask for guidance, wisdom, and courage for those in leadership, for St. Stephen's Church, and for civic, provincial, and federal leaders. And we pray for peace, an end to all wars. Protect the people trying to find safety. Please protect the hearts and minds of the children who are experiencing the cruelest and ugliest things. Guide those in leadership that they would find a swift end to this fighting and death. And Holy Spirit, God within us, you are the mystery, and we will embrace the unknown. Show us how and what to pray for our neighbors. Open our eyes, ears, and hearts to show us how to lift others up, to love them simply because they exist, to serve God by serving others, and to grasp hold of the peace that passes all understanding. Thank you for hearing our prayers. We love you. We worship you. And we ask all these things in the precious name of the risen Jesus. And thank you for Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The gifts you offer to the work and ministry of this church are very gratefully received. Today of all days, when God has given everything, let us give back to him and let us pray over those gifts that we bring to him. Living God, you have given us so much in Jesus Christ: hope, joy, and peace. Above all, you have given us life. What can we give in return? If the whole world were ours, it would not be enough. What little we have, we humbly offer to you. Thousand thanks are due, dearest Jesus, unto you. Amen.
I just have one announcement today. It has been a long time since we have been able to gather for a congregational meeting, and we can do that now. So we have set the date for our AGM as May 1st. That's two Sundays from now. So we hope you will mark that on your calendar, and if you are able to come to be a part of that meeting, that would be terrific. We will have a joint service here on that Sunday, and the meeting will happen after that service. Dear friends, go now as those who have met with Christ in the morning of this day. Go now as those whose hearts have burned within them, as the scriptures were explained. Go now as those who have been touched by resurrection. And as you go, may the blessing of God be upon you, filling you with faith, filling you with hope, and filling you with love as you leave this place. Amen.
Alleluia. to fulfill the